listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play fake horror game by Noble Jester Productions.
One day the heirs of Rin will arise once more to make a haven for the true children. Together they shall rebuild the world as it was meant to be.
So, the ancient father walked up and introduced himself. And you see a couple of the dragonkin fall to their knees, and they kind of look awestruck. Clearly they know who he is by his name. And he kind of, you know, holds out a hand and says,
"Please, please, rise. It's okay."
And as they, you know, stand up, Moot goes over to him and nods his head and introduces himself, and the ancient father reaches out and shakes his hand, and then he says,
"Please, this is all a bit much. I know the name is necessary to introduce myself because I have quite the reputation among your groups, but please, you can call me Sieve."
And Moont kind of nods, and he holds a hand to his chest and then starts to introduce each member of the group. And then he gets to you, and the ancient father, who, you know, just called himself Sieve, walks over to you and offers a hand.
Yeah, so I'll reach my hand out and shake his hand, kind of look him in the eyes.
Yeah, and he appears to be blind, but he's not moving in any way that would indicate that he's actually blind.
Okay.
He shakes your hand and he says,
"It's a bit odd to see an orc here amongst the faithful."
Yeah, well, I'd say it's a little odd, you showing up in a pillar of flame, but, you know.
"Well, yes, I have spent many, many decades dedicated to this cause, and it is one of my favorite things to be able to come and escort groups such as this one. Again, I must ask, why are you here?"
"Well, I was captured here a bit back and ended up in the same place as these dragonkin here, and by chance we were able to escape, and I felt like it was worth my time to see them along."
"Along to where?"
"Hopefully to the Haven. There's a particular individual I'm in search of with an item he possesses, and I hope to get it back."
And Munt steps up and he says,
"Father, I hope it's okay. I have shared with Verboden about the Haven."
And you see a little bit of a crinkling of the eyes when he says your name, because you hadn't said your name.
Right.
And Munt continues. He says,
I'd shared this, and I must tell you, I think that Verboden here is a fulfillment of prophecy. Things are gathering. I've heard tales that other aspects of the prophecy are coming true, and I think I have found the Mighty One."
And I'm going to have you go ahead and roll some sort of a check here.
Okay.
Probably influence. I'd be curious to see how you read this, you know, the ancient father as he's hearing this information.
All right, that was one of my average skills. So that is a -1.
All right, so you don't read him well.
No.
So you had seen kind of that, you know, a little bit of the squinting of the eyes, but you don't get a whole lot else from him. Mm-hmm. And he looks at you and says,
"Well, this is quite momentous news. One of our own deciding that you may be the fulfillment of prophecy."
You say one of our own. Are you a dragon?"
"Well,
I'm not sure how he would answer that. I'm going to get, actually, I'm going to get another influence check from you."
Okay.
To see this time how he's reading you.
Okay. I like it. A little better. It's a 1 total.
Okay. He looks around the group, kind of pausing for a moment before he answers. And he says,
Well, I simply mean I myself am not one of the Dragonkin, no, but I've been a part of this movement and have spent many years helping to establish the Haven.
Well, that's excellent that you're part of this. I mean, it's awful what's happening with the Dragonkin here. Can I ask you a question? When you were coming in, are you familiar with Roland Ironhands?
I've met him, yes, of course.
I best assume you didn't see him here recently.
No, it has been probably 15, 20 years since I have seen Roland.
Okay.
And you asked me a question. Perhaps I can ask you the same question. Are you yourself a dragon?
Kind of pauses here, but, you know, realizing what Moont has already said about the fulfillment of the prophecy and all that, so there's no point in trying to even skirt this question. So he looks at him and says, yes, I am a dragon.
That is wonderful news. We welcome you and your kind in the Haven. In fact, it is a place where you will, I'm sure, find many who perhaps you know or have known.
You say many dragon.
Yes, well, there are quite a few who have found themselves in our homeland and have given their aid to building a place where all can live in freedom.
Hmm. All right, I'm definitely interested to learn more about this place and see who's there.
I'm sure you will find it very eye-opening.
Hmm. Sounds good, then. He just kind of looks over at Moont and just kind of nods at him.
Steve looks around and he says,
But this is hardly the place for us to have discussions like this. I am, of course, your contact, and I would like to escort you to the railroad, and we shall make our way down to the Haven, if I would be welcome to travel with you, and hopefully travel with you the whole way.
And Moont, you know, nods and says,
yes, of course you are welcome, and we are glad you found us. Yes, I'm glad I found you as well. You were not where I was expecting, but we keep our eyes open in a place like this. Thankfully, you were not seriously harmed by these creatures.
Yeah, we were definitely lucky. We were forced out into the waste because some of the marked of Yendra were on our tail, and Roland, who I spoke of, created a diversion and had to make a split decision.
He processes that for a moment, and then he says,
I am sorry that you had to deal with that. It is quite possible that they were hunting me, the marked of the false god, and I have clashed many times.
As he says the false god, you can see kind of a variety of reactions from the various dragonkin. A couple of them just kind of like nod, and, you know, they seem like they're very into his whole persona.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of them actually kind of look shocked as he says that. You know, there's a variety of opinions and religious beliefs, as you've already experienced from them.
Sure, yeah. Could that shock also be that, like, because of the environment and culture they were in, like, maybe just not having heard that, just, like, kind of the blasphemy of someone saying that? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's probably not a lot of them that actually worship Yendra.
Right.
But having been raised in a culture where she is, you know, the be-all, end-all of divinity, essentially, that's quite a kind of shocking thing to hear said out in the open.
Yeah.
So he begins to, you know, lead the group through the wastes. And after a couple of hours of travel, he kind of invites you up to walk alongside of him. You're walking a little ways in front of the rest of the group, so they probably can't hear you very well. And he kind of keeps his voice low. He says,
so, Verboden, that's correct, right?
Yes, that's my name.
I have to ask, because this is obviously something of great import to myself and these people. Munt has said that he believes you are a fulfillment of prophecy. Is this something that you believe about yourself?
I'm not one to tend to buy into these types of statements. Munt is dedicated in his beliefs and practice, and I can understand where that line could be drawn, but no, I don't believe so.
That is unfortunate. Well, perhaps fortunate if you are not the fulfillment of this prophecy, but it is always good for people to have their hope, and if the prophecy can be fulfilled in our lifetimes, what a truly wondrous thing that could be built.
So, I assume you've lived a long life and are well versed in this prophecy. Do you know where it originated, or how long this has been a commonly held belief?
Well, the prophecy was originally delivered by one of the early dragon kin shortly after the fall of the dragons. It was said to have been delivered to him by the spirit of the dragons itself. We have passed this belief system down through generations. I myself have passed it on to many. I believe it is important, and I hope for it to come to pass.
So, couldn't help but notice you're not a dragonkin. Why is this of such importance to you?
Well, I was raised in a monastery of sorts, a place where beliefs were different than in many of the peoples and the places that I'm sure you have experienced. We believed in freedom. We believed in the ability of all people to have a place and to be allowed their own way. When I left the monastery and began my travels through this greater world, I was appalled at what I saw. Appalled at the way that the dragon kin were enslaved for something that they had nothing to do with, nothing except that they have scales on their faces and hands. It's very disturbing. From there, I began to learn and immerse myself in some of their culture, their stories, and I learned that they have a very rich history. They have lasted and sustained themselves and their history for a long time, with very little to go off of except traditions and stories and family units. I decided that there could be no greater cause than to seek freedom and equity for all. And over the years, it has become more than just a cause to me. They are family.
That's good to hear. That's a noble pursuit to dedicate oneself to helping others, so I can definitely respect that. As far as your knowledge of these dragons, you know, you believe in equity and freedom. Does that exist in the Haven?
It does. Although we, of course, still live under the threat of Yindra and her marked and her armies. So everyone has a role to play, but we certainly seek equity and freedom.
So those roles that are played, who's in charge?
Well, we do have dragons that lead the way. I assume you did hear the prophecy.
Yes, I did. Munt shared that with me here recently.
Yes, well, there are three dragons who have been identified in the prophecy and as fulfillment of the prophecy. Three heirs. They lead the way in decisions and in guiding the dragon kin.
And, have they been in hiding there this whole time, or were they gathered from other places? How did this come to be?
Well, from what I understand, many of the dragons were cast out of Rillian and have made their way back or lived on the far edges of the world. But as time has gone on, Yindra's power has waned and some of the barriers have weakened and allowed their kind back in. They have gathered together, some of them, the ones who believe in these causes. They have dedicated themselves to seeking to build this place.
Well, that's good to hear. And these ones you speak of that were the fulfillment that you believe, who are they? What were their names?
Ah, yes, well, Githam the Wise. He's the green dragon, heir of the mind. Eladia the Strong, the white, heir of the body. And Eldarin, the courageous, the red, heir of the flame.
Do any of those names ring a bell?
Yes. All three of them are dragons you would have known.
Okay.
Not in any way you wouldn't have described them by the wise, the strong, the courageous.
Sure, that's my concern.
They were younger dragons who, you know, were fully on Heartfang's side in some of the terrors and the things that he put Rillian through. It's obviously quite possible things have changed and that they have changed, but certainly not
what I remember.
Not the names you would expect to hear.
Okay, got it. And it's pretty safe to assume that just about any dragon from that time period is going to know who I am.
Well, I don't think you've encountered any dragons probably except for, you know, in your previous cycle.
Okay.
I don't think any of your cycles before that you would have encountered dragons.
Okay.
So but I still know. The interesting thing is it doesn't seem like normal people can even retain your name from cycle to cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But the dragon that you met did. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's quite possible that they do know. Mm. And yeah, that they aren't themselves a part of the curse.
Okay. All right. This could be tricky.
Yeah.
Great. That's what you want to hear your DM say.
I mean, it's not supposed to be easy.
That's true. If it was easy, we wouldn't play.
Yeah. I assume the person you said you're chasing is Hestian.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah. The dragon that you have encountered before, and he recognized your name, didn't recognize your form.
Sure.
But knew who you were, all those things. So it's a pretty safe bet that the dragons are not themselves under the curse.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, kind of continues walking with you for a while, and after a bit, he asks you another question.
I'm curious, you say that you do not believe yourself to be this mighty one. What leads you to that conclusion?
Well, I literally just heard this prophecy, and I'm not really one to buy into this predestination of a future for anybody. There's plenty of things that can happen that you can't plan for, so I don't know. I would need a little bit more to believe something along those lines.
So do you not believe in prophecy then?
Well, don't think I've ever heard one that I've seen come true, so until I experience it, then I'll tell you no, I don't.
That is, it seems a bit of a hopeless way to live.
I'm not hopeless. I believe there are people with good in them and want to do what's right and make sacrifice like yourself. I mean, you've dedicated to helping people who have been enslaved and cast down, so there's others like us.
I understand. What is it that you seek? You said you were chasing someone, looking for someone.
Yeah, he was a dragon who was not in the Haven recently and took something of mine at great cost, so I'm just looking to get it back.
He nods and he says,
Well, I'm well versed in names of many of the dragons of Rillian. Perhaps you'd like to share?
This is one of those moments of forks and what can happen, man. Oh. Well, I am trying to find him, so we'll see. I'm telling him. So he looks over to him after kind of contemplating the result of sharing this. The name of the dragon I seek is Hestian.
Ah, yes. So I assume you chase after the Creator Chalice.
I do, so you seem like you're familiar with both Hestian and the Chalice. So what do you know of them?
Little, to be honest. I just know the recent news. You will, unfortunately, find that Hestian has already acquired quite the following in the Haven. They believe him to be fulfillment of prophecy as well. A traveler, bearing a beacon of light.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is, of course, this Creator Chalice.
Mm-hmm. How many followers does he have there?
Well, he's certainly got the dragons on his side, and already all those who believe in the prophecy have accepted him.
Including you, then, right?
Yes. I believe that we are in momentous times. These things have been foretold.
Momentous times, huh? Yeah. Is he just, like, awkwardly looking at me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's really trying to figure you out right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you hold this prophecy dear to you and guides much of your life. You haven't known me long, but I'm not like the other dragon. You can take that how you will, but all my lives I've always cared for those around me and helped those who couldn't help themselves. And maybe ask yourself if the other dragon acted that same way.
He kind of cocks his head to the side, thinking for a moment.
You say that you have always sought to help. Perhaps you should keep an open mind about this prophecy and your possible role. There is something truly powerful about hope and about the belief in better times. If you, in fact, are fulfillment of prophecy that these people have waited for generations, would not casually throw that away.
I'll always keep an open mind. I'm not saying it's impossible or there's no chance of it. There's larger powers at work, and I'm reminded of that part daily. But sometimes this hope and prophecy could be used to manipulate. So just something to think about.
He nods.
You have given me much to think about. I believe it is fortuitous that you are here and that we have met at this time. I'm glad you are with us, Forboden.
Glad I'm here too. I'm definitely interested to learn more about this haven, and I appreciate you sharing with me the things that you have there. I won't give up hope.
Neither will I.
He kind of nods and just keeps walking with him.
He would stay quiet unless you had questions for him. As the kind of hours of walking pass. So unless you have questions, we'll just kind of skip ahead.
I feel like me asking more questions is only going to cause more problems.
So. All right.
Yep.
Well, he escorts your group to kind of through the wastes and eventually to what you can see is kind of a large outcropping of rock, and he leads you around this rock, and you see a kind of an opening in the rock, and looks like there are actual like railroad tracks that they're not connected to the railroad that you had been following or anything like that, but they kind of start a little ways outside this opening and go into this rock. And as your group approaches, you can see several dragonkin emerge out of this opening in the rock, and Siv raises a hand and they bow to him, and
assuming you follow, he leads your group into this opening. Mm-hmm. And you walk in and you can see that this large rock outcropping has been hollowed out. And, you know, kind of inside, it's been opened up. And you can see it's dim in here, but once you pass into it, there are torches and things that light up this cavern. And, you know, this railroad continues on roughly south, like in a south... That didn't make southern. Any sense. Southern direction. Roughly to the south.
Yep.
And, you know, there are like these mine cars that look like they have kind of engines on them. And, you know, they're kind of set in a row next to these tracks. And there's some small kind of buildings that have been set up in here. And he leads the group to what looks to be kind of a bunkhouse. And, you know, they're getting water and food and kind of some rest and things before moving on.
Okay.
So anything specific that you're wanting to do here, or you just want to kind of keep with the group and get some refreshment?
Yeah, you'll stick with the group here.
Okay. Yeah. Couple of the, you know, there are people here, dragonkin here. There's some guards and also, you know, looks like just kind of people manning this outpost. And, you know, the group kind of starts to merge a little bit, people talking, introducing themselves, you know, lots of welcomes. And it looks like this has kind of been set up, obviously, to bring the, you know, these groups of escaped slaves in, but also to welcome them and to start making them feel kind of at home. And so they rest. Looks like they're kind of bedding down to rest for the evening.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do the same. First, I'll kind of go check in with Moont. I'm sure he's probably excited to be here and just kind of, you know, congratulate him for, you know, leading his people thus far and not losing anybody.
Yeah, he seems extremely excited. I mean, he's still kind of a little bit more of a reserved person, so he's not like, you know, giddy or anything, but he definitely seems excited. He kind of claps you on the shoulder and he says, "This is just incredible."
Yeah, I am so happy for you and your group here, getting you here. That's I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous with what was happening back there. So I'm looking forward to the life that's coming for you.
For us?
Yeah, for us.
I told you that we should have faith, and hopefully you see that things always work out.
He kind of smiles and nods like he's doesn't want to hurt or offend him, but he does not agree with that.
Yeah. He kind of, you know, absorbs that and just nods and smiles, and he says, "Rin watches over all of us, my friend."
All right, well, enjoy your time here, and look forward to the next steps here.
Yes, I believe we'll be moving forward in the morning. So he goes and beds down with the rest of the group. You gonna sleep?
I think before I bed down, I'll like walk out of the bunkhouse and just kind of like walk around, observe the others, and just make sure nothing seems weird. I'm not anticipating anything, but just want to just gather my surroundings a little bit better.
Okay. Let's go ahead and have you roll for that. Maybe just a investigate.
Okay.
Just kind of trying to get a feel for the surroundings and what's going on.
All right. That is a 2.
All right. Yeah, you walk around, you kind of meet a couple of the, you know, the guards and the people who are here. At some point, you would kind of watch as Steve walks out and, you know, looks like he's kind of just sitting outside in the desert. Nothing really seems off. Some time passes. Seems like most everybody has kind of, you know, is either asleep or is getting there. And then you notice a dragonkin walking out of the bunkhouse. And she doesn't seem to notice you. This is Nat, mm-hmm. one of the dragonkin that has been with you. And she walks out into the desert and kind of makes her way over to Siv. So I don't know if you would follow or pay any attention to that. It's up to you.
Hmm. Yeah, I would just kind of, not like I'm following her, but like I'm restless too, kind of just walking out, stretching my legs and in the desert. And then if I, you know, see them together, kind of like a, oh, hey, you know, and like walk over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, you know, walks out and it looks like they're having just some kind of basic conversation. Mm-hmm. So you wave and walk over?
Yeah, just walk up.
She doesn't look happy that you walk up, but she kind of quickly hides that. And she says, oh, hello, Forboden.
Hey there, Nat. You doing okay?
Oh, yes, thank you. I was just offering my thanks, and I couldn't sleep. Figured I'd spend a few moments out here. If I can leave if you'd like to talk.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. I've just been, been traveling with you all here for a bit and just checking in, and just out of habit, noticed we were down one, so saw you and just checking in. Anything you need from Seafir? Anything I can help with?
Oh, no, I do have a question for him about some religious matters, but I don't think that's something that you would be able to help with. I'm sorry.
I mean, I probably can't help with you, but I would love to hear. I mean, at this point, I'm learning a lot of just like you are. So if you don't mind, could I just hang out and hopefully absorb some information here from Seif?
Yes, I guess that would be fine.
She just kind of looks awkward for a moment and then looks up at the sky.
Well, my question, Ancient Father, was...
She's just kind of like... hemming and hawing, and eventually she just kind of stops talking and puts her head down, and she says,
I don't have time for this. Siv Talen, you have been a thorn in the side of the true rulers of Rillian for far too long.
And she pulls a dagger out of her tunic and is going to leap at him.
Okay. Knew something was off.
So, you have a chance to kind of react. What would you do?
I would try to go for her arm and, like, try to restrain her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of leap at her to try to grab her arm. Say that's probably physique.
Okay. Come on, good roll. Nope. Rolled a -3, then with my +3, it's a 0.
Okay, she got a 4. So you leap at her arm, and with very surprising strength, she just like almost slaps you aside, and she's going to go ahead and stab at him. Nat shoves the dagger down at him, and it shoves into his shoulder, and he groans and tries to roll to the side, but she's rolling with him, shoving the dagger into him. So you're up.
Okay. I'm going to try to rush forward and try to grab and pull her off of him.
Okay. Probably be a physique roll.
That's not bad. That's a 4.
Okay. Yeah, she got a 2. So you rush over and, yeah, how do you pull her off of him?
I kind of get up underneath her arms and just, like, yank her back, and I'm trying to hold on to her.
Okay. Do you want her to hold on to the dagger or leave it in?
Oh, because she, like, stabbed it in. And
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's trying to grab onto it, but her hand slips off, and I pull her free.
Okay. Yeah, so he rolls away and throws this dagger, and she's in your arms, and she's going to try to headbutt back at you and, you know, get away from you.
Okay.
That is a terrible roll. She got a 2.
Okay, well, I rolled 1 plus my physique, so I actually got 4 again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she tries to headbutt back at you, but how do you avoid that?
So I just see her kind of making the movement and just use kind of my brute strength in form of being an orc to kind of like just keep enough space where her head misses, and kind of raise my voice at her. Nat, what are you doing?
She kind of hisses at you and says,
He has to die.
And as you're kind of, you know, grappling with her, Steve stands up and he looks over at you and he starts to build up this large fireball in his hands. And he says,
Verboten, let her go.
Hang on, I don't even know what she's doing. Just hold up, put that away. I'm going to yell back, guards, guards.
As you do that, she's going to try to elbow you and get away from you again.
Okay.
It's a little better. She got a 4.
I only got a 3.
Okay, so she elbows you. You're not going to take any shifts of, you know, physical stress or anything like that because she's just trying to get away from you. But she manages to wriggle out of your grasp, and seeing Steve there, you know, with this kind of growing large fireball, she dips a hand into her tunic and she pulls out this small cylindrical tube. She points it up and she says, "You'll die." And she releases this column of this kind of an explode, like a firework, you know, that explodes in the air. And as she does this, this fireball shoots out from him and explodes into her chest. She is just crisped. And probably, you know, you feel the heat of that. Mm-hmm. It probably, you know, kind of knocks you back. And then you begin to hear the booms of the marked arriving.
Oh, dang it. Okay, so with Mark showing up, and we gotta get out of here real quick, so I'll yell at Steve. Steve, we gotta get the others. Let's get going. I'll start running back towards the mouth of the cave.
Okay. Yeah, he's bleeding out of his shoulder. He's, you know, he's hurt, but he turns and starts running with you. And as you're running back toward the cave, you see these guards coming out, and he points back into the air and looks at the guards and says,
"You're going to have to hold them off for us."
And then he runs into the cave alongside of you.
Okay, so I'll rush over to the building where everyone is sleeping, bust through the door, and everybody wake up. We gotta go right now. Right now.
Okay. They all start to get up, grab their stuff. You know, they were asleep, but they're used to kind of a high level of danger at this point and needing to move quickly. So their stuff is all still packed and everything, and they grab their gear and rush out of this little bunkhouse. And as they're coming out, you begin to hear the sounds of combat right outside the cave. And it would be pretty clear with how many guards there were and how many marked, you know, have been chasing you, that they're not going to be able to hold them for long.
Okay, yeah, so there are those carts around, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, are those, like, set up on the tracks, or are they not on there?
They're not set up on the track, but they're just next to it. It looks like it wouldn't be very difficult to move a couple onto the tracks.
Okay, so I'm going to rush over and try to get that. If I see Drawer and Amp, I'll yell out to them to help start getting those on, and so we start to look at people.
Yeah, all of the, you know, Drawer, Amp, Munt, you know, even Steve kind of rush over and are helping to move these carts onto the tracks. And Steve points at, you know, a couple of places on the carts and says,
"Connect them here and we will use the magic to push them along."
And he jumps into the furthest back cart and starts turning it on, and it looks like there's some kind of small engines on them that you assume are probably powered by Ecton. And you hear some screams from the mouth of the cave as people are piling into these carts, and there's a couple of gunshots that start to kind of, you know, go over your head. You can hear the sound of the bullets passing over. You guys need to move quick.
Yeah, so I mean, if there's any other are these engines attached, I don't know if it's the one just in the back, but I'm going to look around for any way we can get this moving quicker.
Yeah, you would probably, at least you saw how he was turning one of them on, and, you know, you'd be able to turn another one of them on. There's probably 3 carts here that have been connected together to be able to hold your whole group. People are piling in. You get, you know, another one turned on. Looks like Munt is in the first car, and he's fiddling with it as well.
How big is this, like, cavern cave area?
It's pretty large. You know, it's big enough that there are several buildings inside of it. The opening of it is not huge, but it opens pretty quickly into a large cavern.
Is it big enough to fit a dragon?
It would be big enough to fit a dragon. probably not, I mean, these carts certainly aren't big enough to fit you.
Right.
But, yeah, if you wanted to change, you could.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking here is just to help get us a head start, I think I'm going to turn into a dragon and then get behind the carts and put my nose up against the back cart and start flapping, use my wings to, like, push and get us going quickly. And then once we get far enough away, then I would transform back and sit in one of the carts.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, so you jump out of the cart you were in, rush over to the back, and start to transform as you're running. And, you know, everybody kind of stops and looks, but then quickly goes back to what they're doing. The carts start to move, and you're using your full bulk now, you know, force of your wings to push them faster. You get them moving pretty quickly until you feel the engines kind of start to take over, and they actually start to move a little faster than you. And Steve looks back at you and says, "Come on!" And he holds a hand out.
Yeah, so I'll do my best to fly as quick as I can, and then kind of last bit of momentum, and then transform back smaller into an orc and reach out a hand, try to reach for Steve.
Okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and get a roll for this, because I'm curious how well it works.
Okay.
Probably athletics?
No, it's a total of 0.
Okay. He got a 4. So you transform, you stick your arm out, and kind of feel like these carts are moving too fast away from you. But he grabs onto your hand, and you're actually surprised at his strength and his ability to grab the hand of someone who is rapidly shrinking down. He pulls you up and, you know, kind of halfway into the cart. And there's this moment where he looks down at you, like right before he pulls you into the cart. And you see just a moment of thoughtfulness cross over his face.
Oh man, okay.
And then he pulls you into the cart.
Oh man, thanks, Steve. Alright, I think we're clear?
Yes, I think that these carts, now that you've gotten them moving, should be able to get fast enough that I don't believe the marked will be able to follow.
Alright, good. Now, is Krim close by?
She's probably in the middle cart, and she looks a little bit panicked.
So I'm gonna kind of look over towards her and Krim.
She looks back at you. She says, "Where's Nat? We left her behind."
I'm sorry. She didn't make it.
Oh no.
I just want to kind of gauge her reaction.
She starts like crying. Let's get a check here for this.
Maybe like an influence.
Yeah, influence is probably the best role here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a 4.
Okay. She seems to be genuinely sad. You don't see any traces of, like, fear, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's fear just kind of in general from what's been happening. But you don't see any sudden, like, oh no, they're going to find me out, yeah, or anything like that, that, you know, would lead you to believe that she was a part of all of that.
Okay. Cool. Good to know.
Okay. So, you know, the carts continue traveling at this incredibly high rate of speed. You can tell that these engines were made and are fueled by Ecton in such a way that, you know, this is not like a mine cart. It's really made for extremely high rates of travel. But you spend a good 3 days just traveling through the dark. You know, there are times when Steve will make his way to the front and throw out a column of flame to make sure that there's not anything dangerous up ahead. But for the most part, it seems like this pathway, you know, this railway has been made very carefully to allow for dark travel like this. And after those 3 days, the carts start to slow down, and eventually you emerge into not a brightly lit cave, but you kind of exit into a cave similar to the one you entered. You can see some buildings, you can see, you know, lights and things, and the carts eventually stop, and Steve turns them off, and then gets out and walks over to the mouth of the cave where there are some guards, and he claps them on the arms, and then leads all of you outside, assuming you follow.
I do, yeah.
Okay. He steps out of this cave and points down. You can see you're kind of up on the side of a mountain. And he points down to where there's a valley down below you, surrounded by mountains. You can see there's a large lake at the bottom of the valley. And there's an army encamped at the shores of the lake. He points past the lake, further down the valley, and he says,
"See there, on the other side of the lake, that is the beginning of the haven. But first, it appears we will have to get past the army of the gods."
Hey, thanks again for listening. I just wanted to drop a little fun teaser in here. So something we're working on as a side project that's coming up here, hopefully middle of the year or potentially in the fall. We're going to have a horror type show. Give me something better than that.
I was going to like throw in a little scream or something, but that wasn't very scary.
No, not at all. But the fun part of it is, so I'm going to be the DM, and we're going to flip roles here, and Jesse will be the player for that. So I will do my best to make him not want to show up to the next session once we start recording. That's my goal.
Just remember, if you kill me, I'm going to take revenge in the main campaign.
Yeah, it checks out. Well, more details coming later on that. So we will send those details out and let everyone know when that will be available for your listening.